recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hello and welcome back to yet another edition of the Monday Mailbag with Dr. Tom Pritchard. Dr. Tom, we're already at the end of October. Can't believe how fast this year's going by, man.
Yeah, we got just, 2 months left, and then we go to 2023. Who would have thunk it?
It's insane. It's just this year has flown by, brother. But, man, I tell you what, I'm so glad that I get to work with you and do the mailbag show. We have lots of great questions. People are submitting them left and right. Buddy, you ready to jump in this week?
I'm always ready, Paul.
All right, here we go. We're going to start with Drew Landry, who says, I believe WrestleMania 13 between Bret and Austin is the greatest match of all time. Do you think that was Bret's best match, and do you think that was Austin's best match?
I don't know if it was their best match. It was certainly a great match, but I think if you ask Bret and if you ask Steve both, they would say it was definitely a turning point for Steve, and that was what Bret wanted to accomplish too. He wanted to be a part of helping Steve's career get off the ground in WWE. And I think it was certainly a great match. I don't know if either one of them would say it was their best match, but why not? I mean, it's still one of those matches that I will show a class at JPWA to demonstrate. It's not always the moves you do. It's what you do in between and after the moves, leading up to the move, and what happens once it's done, and the details, and it's always about the little details, and I don't think you can find two better guys than Steve Austin and Bret Hart who were paying attention to the details back then.
Dr. Tom, you've mentioned it before on the show how that you do show matches, at your school and to go over, hey, this is how to do this and to do that. Do you ever have opportunities for the students to say, hey, what, do you have a match or something that you would like us to watch, or any recommendations that we could watch as a class and maybe, something that was impactful to you? How does that work?
All the time. People ask if we could watch the WrestleMania match with Savage and Steamboat at WrestleMania 3. We've watched that, my gosh, I don't know how many times, but just to demonstrate, if you watch that match and watch the basics they do in that match, just watch it. Don't watch it for the entertainment value. Watch it for what Steamboat and Savage both do in between and after they do a move. Watch Ricky Sell in this, because it's 93,000. However, it was a lot of people, no matter what. It was a lot of people watching. And Steamboat went down when it was time to go down, but the rest of the time he's selling up with his facials, the body language, the facials. That goes back to storytelling. So, yeah, I'll take suggestions all the time, but one of my favorite matches is Terry Funk versus Harley Race. And it's archaic. Yes, it's very much in the 70s, 77. And I don't know that you could do the exact same match today, but if you had two people like Harley Race and Terry Funk, two wrestlers, two performers in that vein, they would know how to get the fans. They would know how to get the people because they're pros. They've been around long enough. They understand the art of what they're doing in the ring. They understand if you go too fast, nobody's going to get it. If you go too slow, everybody's going to be bored. So you have to find that pace. You have to find that right rhythm. And that's the reason you should watch matches. I got this analogy from a good friend, Sin Bodie. Watching old school matches and watching even just older matches, they don't have to be old school, but even go back to the early 2000s or 90s or 80s, it's like going down panning for gold. Sometimes you get nuggets and sometimes you get just rocks and mud, but you don't know what you're going to find till you see it. You may find one thing out of 100 matches you watch. You may find nothing, but you'll find, if you watch long enough, you watch something, you'll find something that appeals to you. If you love the business, if you have a passion for it, and find out how to use that in a modern way where people understand. Mick Foley got the mandible claw from Dr. Sam Shepard. And the only way Mick knew about that, not the only way, but the way he found out about that was through Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette's a historian. He loves the business. He can think about the old stuff. And that's why he was so valuable to so many people when he was a manager, booker, promoter, because he could remember these things and modernize it and make it work somehow.
So you mentioned the funk match there with Harley Race. You mentioned Steamboat Savage. Are there any other like go-tos where, you know, every time I do a 10-week session, here are my top 3 to 5 matches I know I at least want to show these guys?
I have them down. We watch DiBiase and Doc against Dick Murdoch and the Masked Superstar from Houston, where they tell a great story with two sets of heat in a tag match, which is unheard of unless you're telling a story and creating an angle. And that's exactly what they did. When I first watched it, it had been many years since I don't know if I'd ever seen it. But you watch how they lead up to getting the heat, and then they get a hot tag, and then they get the heat again, and then get a hot tag, and then they start to cut him off for a third set of heat, and they don't do it. And as the story goes, they go into this finish without any real big comeback, without any buildup. But once DiBiase does this one thing, he goes into his trunks and puts on this glove that he had, he always wore. The people were educated to what was going on. They knew once DiBiase had that glove, something was going to happen. And you could hear the crowd come up. Goes back to storytelling. DiBiase put on the glove, nails Murdoch. Murdoch doesn't take a traditional wrestling bump. He crumbles like you. If you ever seen anybody get hit, you see him sometimes crumble, and that's how Dick sold it. DiBiase got the cover and the win, and the people exploded. So those are some of the matches we watch. I off the top of my head, those are the only ones that come up right now.
That's fine. That's good.
Yeah, but other matches, again, we've watched a draw with Steamboat and Flair, just different pace, different cardio, different rhythm, but storytelling at its finest. And that's the only reason we're watching those.
Now, I think it's fun too for our listeners to be able to hear, hey, what are some of those, as you mentioned, the gold nuggets that are out there? Because I know these guys like to go back and try to find those and watch them themselves. So there you go.
And they should, because you'll be you should be entertained by watching it.
All right, Drew's back again with another question, and he says, do you know why Roddy Piper did not like Mr. T?
I think at the end of the whole fiasco, Mr. T earned the respect of Roddy Piper, because Roddy was a great guy, no doubt. But I think Roddy also had no time for anyone who disrespected wrestling. And I think that was a huge issue. Here was this actor coming in thinking that he could come in and just get this down. And I think Roddy took offense to that. And in the end, when, you know, they had their boxing match and did whatever they did, I think Piper gave him the respect, especially, I know, after being inducted in the Hall of Fame, Piper realized, look, man, this guy was doing the exact same thing we were doing, or he was doing, and he worked hard at it. So I think it might have just gone back to a lack of respect in the beginning, because Mr. T didn't really understand it. Didn't really know. He was being treated like a star, a big TV star. And sometimes you get a little resentful over that, I would think.
Well, not only that, you think about it too. This is Roddy's old school. This is back in a period of time where actors just didn't come in and go main event WrestleMania. I mean, I know it's the first WrestleMania. That's just not how it worked.
But that's the deal. You know, this guy's coming in, not only just on the card, but he's working against me, and they want me to do a job here. Hold on, wait a minute. You know, and that's what Roddy thought. Roddy learned from Gino Garibaldi in Los Angeles. And I've read this many times, and I never had the opportunity to meet Gino Garibaldi, but he was one of those guys in the vein of a Pat Patterson, who was a booking genius and just understood how to place the pieces on the chessboard. He knew what to do. It just had that innate ability. And I think Roddy took great offense to an actor coming in and claiming a spot.
Nowadays, it's more widely accepted. I mean, they're doing this Crown Jewel event with Roman Reigns and Logan Paul.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not that it's fully accepted, but people look at it differently because they've gotten a little bit more used to this type of stuff happening.
The world has changed, and I certainly understand that. If they help draw a house, why not?
That's
I mean,
right.
Why not? You know, and I get it.
Yep. All right. This is all about Kane. You ready? We got lots of questions about Kane. And the next one from Devin Dowling, our buddy. He says, Dr. Tom and Polly, I'm wondering about Kane. How did you two come up with the idea of opening a school? Did you train Kane? How did you two meet back in the day? And any special stories? So let's start first. How did you come up with the idea of opening the school?
We were talking over lunch and thought it'd be a great idea. Glenn's in town. I'm in town. Why not? Let's do a school. That's how that came about. And then, we worked on the tombstone over in the studio, 120 Hamilton in Stamford, for when he was first starting Kane and wanted to learn how to work in the mask. I remember coming over and taking the tombstone a couple times and working on, that very same day, Jim Cornette came over and taught him how to sit up like the Undertaker and going through things like that. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there were,
this is good. Dr. Tom, cause yeah. I don't think people have known this. So Cornette helps him learn how to sit up like Taker.
Yes.
You take tombstones to help him learn that. But God, I would be scared to take that move, dude. Well, anything to the head and neck.
Leave it to trained professionals, Paul. So anyway, that was part of my gig back then. So, but I knew Glenn since Smoky Mountain days and
that's right.
He just figured, why not? We're in town. Why not do it?
And I didn't even think about that. You guys, you, Jim Cornette and Glenn all had that connection from Smoky Mountain. So you were all very comfortable with each other and had worked together before him. And then the transition to Kane. So there you go. Any special stories about Kane that maybe you could share?
No, I remember, a couple times, but one time in particular in San Antonio, we were going to the gym. I was driving. It was Glenn and Bradshaw and myself who were going to the gym, and I guess we were laughing and talking. I hadn't noticed the traffic had stopped about maybe 50 yards ahead of us. And I was going a pretty good rate of speed, but I put on the brakes and therefore my reputation as a horrible driver emerged because JBL was in the car and you can't tell him a daggum secret without him just going out and spreading everything. So anyway, no other really, stories I could tell or think of right now. I've always got along with Kane.
Glenn. Seems just like a real, like, gentle giant, nice guy.
But I think he's one of those guys that you sure don't want to make mad or upset.
Okay.
And for the most part, he's got a pretty good constraint about him. So he understands.
All right. Well, hey, Bobby's up next. He says, great show this week, Paulie B and Dr. Tom. What role would you have wanted to play in WCW during the Monday Night Wars if you had been there in WCW? Thanks for answering my question. Love the show. So would they have just made you de facto NWO, like, trainer because, you know, that's what you did in WCW? Or would you have been like a Bonnie Donna NWO? Or what would you want to do in WCW?
If I never hear the word Bonnie Donna again, I'd be a happy man when I die. Anyway, I have a guy. There's a guy at the NWA, Sal Renewal, a nice guy, great kid, great guy. But he keeps bringing up the Bonnie Donna thing, and I'm telling him, Sal, that Sal wasn't not a good time in my life.
Right.
No. Monday night. No, that was especially heavy. I was happy where I was at, obviously, but if let's just use the word if, and if is the one word in life. Look, Brad Armstrong was there during the time that was going on. A lot of people were there during that time that I knew and would talk to periodically. But I don't know that I would have been any more or any less than some of those guys on Saturday night. And I sure wouldn't have, look, I've never been one to, hang out all the time. I'm kind of a guy who likes to sit back and take things in on my own. Kind of like if I'm seeing it, the party go this way and I want to go that way, I have no problem just leaving out the back door. Yep.
Yeah. Low key.
So, yeah. So, you know, that I don't think, I would have done, I don't think I would have done anything during Monday Night Wars. Actually, I was happy doing the training stuff.
There you go. So no thanks, Bobby. No thanks from Dr. Tom. He would rather just kind of do his own thing and do what he was doing. Brian Harems is up next. He says, Dr. Tom, has there ever been a time you've had to hold a student back to get more training? And what is something you look for that lets you know, okay, they're definitely ready?
Well, here's one thing I truly believe. I don't think you should wait until you're completely ready, because you'll still be waiting. Nobody's completely ready when you go out there and have your first match. And holding someone back, I have told people that you need more training. But once again, everybody knows better than I do, and they'll go do their thing until they find out, oh, wait a minute, maybe I don't know as much as I thought I knew. And some guys just go out there and do their thing and stink up the joint and don't care. So, yeah, I haven't necessarily said you need to stay back and get more, but I have said I don't think you should do this right now. I think you actually need to practice a little more. And I recently I did recently tell someone, you need to be able to do at least 15 minutes before you go out there in the ring. You need it without blowing up. 15 minutes of having a match. People think, oh, hell, I can do 15 minutes. Yeah, try it. Telling a story, getting people into it, and having, when I say getting people into it, having the promoter slash booker or whoever runs the show into it to where they want to bring you back, if that's what you really want to do. So I have told people things they need to work on, and have told people that you need to be able to go 15 minutes before you even think about having a match. Yeah, but I'm only going five. No, that's not the point.
Yeah.
You blow up in the first drill, and that's not what you, that's not going to make you successful.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right. Brian has another question. He says, Dr. Tom, can you talk about your rivalry with the dirty white boy, Tony Anthony from Continental, and talk about the angle where Tony tried to hang you?
Well, that was during a time when Eddie Gilbert took over and David Woods bought the company from Ron Fuller. They were looking for an angle. And I remember seeing the Hangman and Nick Bockwinkel do this angle on TV. And where the guy put the noose around Nick's neck and wheeled him across the ring. And it was pretty violent for that day and age. But that always stuck in my mind. And I brought that up. And Eddie said, well, I need a little more than that. And I said, how about he handcuffs me and with my hands behind my back and then drags me from the interview platform to the ring. So I thought it was a pretty decent angle. It was at the fairgrounds in Birmingham, wasn't it? Boutwell Auditorium. They were doing renovations, I think. And we thought it got over great, but business stayed the same. So it was a lot of fun back then, though. It really was. Tony was always been a great worker. Tony's always done good stuff with, whether it was with the Dirty White Boys or one part of the Grapplers, and or as a single, you know, just by himself. So I really enjoyed that time.
I think you can also find that whole angle on YouTube. It's out there for sure. So check it out. I think one of them's listed as 1988 Angle of the Year. So there you go. So check that out, guys. I'm telling you, if you want to see some classic Dr. Tom. Gavin is up next, and he says, this has become my favorite show on the AFS network.
What a shock, right?
I mean, dude, there it is. I love it. Thank you, Gavin. You're the man. He said, thanks for all the insights and history lessons, and you're going to get that here. And that's what I love about Mailbag with Dr. Tom. Nathan Fionn from Serenity Firefly fame has asked his fans to simply say, my captain, if they see him in public, rather than, I appreciate your work, you're my favorite actor, etc. What would be the wrestling equivalent to acknowledge a guy without being intrusive on their private time?
You know, I think these days, I could be wrong, but I can only speak for myself. You know, as strange as it may sound, I don't remember everything, and I don't remember everybody I meet. You know, it's kind of crazy, right?
Well, of course, we've met a lot of people. Come on.
Well, that's my point. I'm being an asshole. But yeah, funny. But the thing is, if people have recognized me or come over and started talking to me, I realize that they're not sure. So they're coming over, taking the time, they're taking the effort. And, and I why not? What does it hurt to be nice?
That's right.
What does it hurt to make somebody's day if you can? If I can make somebody's day, more power to them, more power to me, man, because I'm trying to do better these days instead of just telling everybody you're the drizzling shits. Get out of here. Yeah. I'll try to look for the positives. And there may not be a whole lot of positives. But if somebody comes over and says hello, especially when I'm with my wife, she's cool with it. We say hi and we don't spend a lot of time, but I try to be nice and cordial. Why not? Look, dude, I haven't been on TV in over 30 years. So if you still recognize me at this stage of the game, it's awesome.
I think it's cool too. Even like if someone, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but even if they just came over and said, "Hey, I appreciate everything you've done for the wrestling business. Nice to meet you." And then moves on. Right. You know,
right. That's cool. That's all. I've had more than one person just say that. God, we just went to true story. Let me tell you this real quick. We just went to Charleston right before the hurricane hit. We stopped at a rest area. So we're my wife and I are going in the store, and I hear somebody say, "Dr. Tom," behind me. And she taps me on the shoulder and says, "Hey, that guy was calling you." So I turned around. He got out of the car. He says, "Man, I really want to thank you because you watched one of my matches one time. It was my first match. And when I asked you what you thought, you said, I couldn't tell it was your first match. I thought you guys had a great match." And he said, "That was the best compliment I ever got." I don't remember that, but I said, "Awesome. Great." He had his wife with him. I had my wife with him. "Hey, this is my wife. Hey, this is my wife. Great. Hey, we just stopped for a restroom break. Great. Cool. Guys, have a nice trip." This is in between Knoxville and Charleston, South Carolina. That was nice.
Yeah.
I was cordial. But that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember where I've been. I don't remember all the seminars I've done. I don't remember everything I said. Because I've said some bad shit, too.
Yeah, right. You're waiting for that guy to show up.
Not really. But I'm sure he will one day.
Hey, asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. Gavin says, any good stories about public fan encounters that went right or very wrong? Well, you just shared it with us. So that was one that went very right. And you don't have any that went very wrong, do you?
No. Because okay, most good. People get it. Now, and I look, I'm a fan still, too. I really am. I'm still a fan of wrestling, and I understand. I really do. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, man. Listen, it's hard. Even, you know, people, I get to work with guys like you and Kurt Angle and Arn Anderson and others. And, man, it doesn't change a bit. When I first got to meet you at Wrestle Cave, buddy, I couldn't wait to just, I popped, you know, to use a wrestling term and want to hug you. And man, I'm a fan. This is, I'm a fan first.
Right.
And I love this. So
Cool. I'm a fan first too. And I've always been a fan, even with all the stuff going on today, I'm still a fan.
Yeah.
I appreciate anybody who takes the time. Or who has the guts to get in the ring and do this.
That's right. All right. Ben Ledbetter's up next. He says, "Dr. Tom, what is the biggest obstacle for MMA fighters to overcome from coming from their respective backgrounds to the wrestling business? Selling, learning to work a hold, or connecting with the audience?"
Definitely selling with emotion and feeling. Definitely getting these guys to understand that, well, okay, what would you do in MMA? Well, I would just do this. Okay, you can do that, but you've got to put some body language into it. You've got to put some facials with that. You don't just do it, because in MMA and amateur wrestling and all these other real sports, you aren't supposed to show weakness. You aren't supposed to show pain. You're supposed to fight through it, go through it, and don't let your opponent know you're hurt if you are. So that's one of the biggest obstacles I've come across, and a lot of guys who've done MMA think they're the baddest son of bitches on the planet, and a lot of them are, but not all of them are. And they don't understand when I say body language and tell me a story, facials. They don't get that. So it just that's one of the obstacles. But Kurt Angle is one of the few who came along and just was a natural. He got it. He understood it from the very beginning. And one of the quickest learners in the business too. So I mean, that's just a testament to how well he's able to be coached and listen and apply.
Yeah, Kurt is one of those guys too. And I know, obviously I'm going to show some bias and favoritism to Kurt because I get to work with him on a weekly basis. But as I've gone back with him and watched clips from 2000, 2001, 2002, not only is it his athletic ability, but what he was doing just from the selling, his facials, his pre-tapes, what he could do. I mean, the guy had he's a standout. Not everybody had all those skills.
No, he's a gold medalist, and he won it with a broken freaking neck.
Oh, hell yeah, baby.
and understood once he got into this that, yes, he has skills, and, yes, he can wrestle. But the point is to make this look as authentic as possible, but also get people involved in you as a person or character. And that's something I think he got and he had fun with. And if you're not having fun with it, then people are going to know that too.
Yeah, he understood the connection to the audience was important.
Yes, and Kurt is an awesome guy and just a great human being.
First
class, and for all the things he's gone through in life, I you can't say enough good about him.
Yep, you got it. And Mark Keith is up next, too. Man, this guy made such a big impression on me, Top Guy Weekend. And he said, gotta admit, Paulie B, it was cool to hear the shout out about the replica medal I gave you at Top Guy Weekend. Mark, I couldn't remember your name. As Dr. Tom said, I met so many folks that weekend and got pictures, but you stuck out in my mind because if you can see on my back shelf below that title belt, there's a small gold medal sitting there. It's the replica gold medal that Kurt Angle won. And Mark Keith is the one who gifted that to me.
Awesome.
Said, I want you to have that for your Kurt Angle show, shelf. So thank you, Mark. You are the man. And he said, I do listen to the mailbag, both of them. So there you go. He said, I was actually the one bringing up Kenzie and Ella on that same show. He said, now this week I turned to music for the great Dr. Tom. My question, it's being fully funded for you to host your own music festival. You can pick 5 bands, artists from any genre, any era. Who are they, and which of the 5 is the headliner? So, Dr. Tom, you're promoting your own music festival with 5 bands. Who are the 5 bands, and who's the headliner?
Well, I'm going to give you the 5 bands real quick. I'll say Guns N' Roses. We talked
Love
about
it.
This. Not too bad. Van Halen. That's with DLR.
Yep.
AC/DC.
Oh wow, this is
if we could if we could have from any era, any band, Led Zeppelin. Headlining the entire array. Well, I'd have to have 2 headliners because I actually just saw this movie not too long ago. But headlining would either be Queen or Aerosmith.
My God,
Steven Tyler, man, is a hell of a showman too. And for all, if we're looking the way he looks at his age, what, 73, 74, 75, something like that, man, they're still rocking. And so Queen and my God, Freddie Mercury was an incredible showman too.
That would be like one of them. I mean, I'm a rock guy too. Classic rock.
Yeah.
Love it all the way. So I would absolutely love that show. By the way, your brother, again, got to bring him up this week. He is going to see Aerosmith in Vegas in December.
Awesome.
And he's hoping to see Steven Tyler and Joe Perry. And he said this time he'd like to be able to meet him and get a picture that they all actually remember. So,
very nice. Well, good for him. Maybe he can't. But if you remembered it, was it really that good?
He said he knew they met each other, but this time he'd like a picture and maybe they can remember. That was good. There we go. All right. Michael Green's going to wrap us up this week. He says, Dr. Tom and Paulie B, I was wondering, Dr. Tom, when a performer is hurt in the ring and needs to be helped to the back, is there a protocol against waving goodbye, saying thank you to the fans if you know you're going to be out of action for a while? In some cases, people have said they know they'd be gone for a bit. Thank you for all the insight and entertainment. Love the show. So what about that, Dr. Tom? We see football players give the old thumbs up if they're carted off or things like that. But is there, you know, protocol against that goodbye or saying thank you to the fans?
You know, I remember back in, God, it's been over 10 years now, obviously, at a place called Bourbon Street in Port Richey, Florida, FCW. We'd run there every Wednesday night, I think it was, or maybe it was Tuesday, whatever day it was. We had a guy named Tookie Tucker. The trucker, his gimmick was a truck driver and,
DJ and the Bear. Yeah.
Correct. Okay. Nice guy. Looked good. But, you know, he was looking to get a contract. He was in Steve Kern's amateur class and, he and another guy, I won't mention this guy's name, but they had a match in class and it got out of hand kind of a little bit because Tookie thought this guy was taking advantage of him. Well, somebody got the bright idea. Let's book him in Bourbon Street. And the winner, is going to be considered for a contract. Well, so they come out and they have the match. Well, I'm standing where the hard camera's at with the time. And I say, make sure you guys hit your time. And about 3 minutes in, Tookie takes a bump on his neck and he's motionless. And this other fellow doesn't know what to do. And the referee calls for the bell, puts the X up, and he's hurt. Okay. Well, now this is the first match. And we really liked running a 2-hour show kind of tight. Didn't want to be there all night. So now it's taking 15 minutes to get an ambulance there because he can't move. We don't want to move him. They put him in his neck brace. Everybody's clapping for him. He does the thumbs up. Okay. Not necessary. Really uncalled for. It was ridiculous. So, no, I don't think the guy should be doing the thumbs up. I think they need to sell it all the way to the back and then some. Yeah. And but Tookie felt he needed to let everybody know he'll be back, and he wasn't. But nice guy.
That's a good point, because if you're doing, you know, you're doing the thumbs up or the thank you, that's not selling.
No, it's not. And it's looking for attention. And no, don't do that. This is what it is. This is why a lot of people don't understand that not everybody's in on it. Not everybody should be in on it. So let's suspend that belief a little bit.
Dr. Tom, I got to ask, as we close out this week's show, and we talked about your music band, so I'm going to put you on the spot here. If you had to go open your phone and search for Aerosmith, and you're going through their music list, and you have to find that one song that you get to listen to, you know, maybe you're getting ready to go into a class or drive down the road. What's that one Aerosmith song that you'd like to put on in your ears?
Draw the Line.
Draw the Line, song of the week here on the mailbag. Aerosmith, right. Draw the Line. That's from the doctor. That's what he's prescribing. All of you need to look it up and listen to it. Dr. Tom, this has been another fun edition. Guys, continue to send your questions in. We are having a lot of fun here on the mailbag, going through a lot of things here. We're talking music. We're talking a lot of classic wrestling stories, training stories, and we appreciate all your support and sending these great questions in. Let's support Dr. Tom as you can. Dr. Tom, give him that website address they can to check out your school, find your book, and maybe some of these guys could be interested in signing up next year, 2020.
Awesome, man. Just check out jpwrestlingacademy.com. We have our final class going on right now for 2022, the next class starts January 2nd, 2023, and runs through March 29th. So go to our page, jpwrestlingacademy.com, click on training. It has where you can buy the book. It has where you can get t-shirts. It has where you can apply for classes. So it has a one-stop shop for everything wrestling training, jpwrestlingacademy.com.
Guys, I'm telling you, check out prowrestlingtees.com. There is a shirt out there, and I'm snatching that shirt up. I've looked at it before. I have one of his JPWA shirts, But there is one that says Pritchard, and the P is in the square. It's that Pritchard MD shirt that looks really sharp. But he's got a few others out there, too. But my goodness, go ahead and grab one of those. That's going to help him. I love that one. It kind of looks like the element, the table element chart with the P in the square deal.
And has something to do with house, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
House,
yeah.
MD.
Yeah. And MD at the end. Love that shirt. I'm grabbing one. You can grab that shirt or others out there. So let's take care of that. We're headed into the Christmas season. Tell your spouse or the one you love, hey, I want that shirt for Christmas. Put it under the Christmas tree for me and help support Dr. Tom. Dr. Tom, thank you for doing this with me again this week, buddy.
Awesome, Paul. I'm glad we're still on.
We're still on the air, and people are digging it. So, guys, continue to send those questions in on behalf of the doctor. This is Paul Bromwell. We'll see you right here in 2 weeks in November. Holy shit, time is flying. He's the doctor. This is Paul. We'll see you next time here on the Monday Mailbag with Dr. Tom Pritchard.